Every hero must have an origin story, and that includes New York media icon Stan Fischler, known by millions of sports fans as the Maven. Fischler has written over 100 books on hockey, baseball, and transit systems. Now he turns to his own story. Tales of Brooklyn is a collection of humorous and poignant stories that gives a fascinating glimpse of growing up in New York City during the Depression and World War II eras. Fischler's intimate circle of family and friends will shape him into the Hall of Fame hockey writer that he becomes. A pleasure to welcome to our studios the great Stan Fischler. Thank you for being here today.
It is my pleasure.
I reunited with you because at one time in my life I was a rabid hockey fan, and that waned somewhat. And I reunited with you because of ESPN, because of a story that I saw that included a complete report about where you're now living, which some of our listeners might find shocking, in the Golan Heights, and some of the practices that you've taken up, putting on tefillin each day. You mentioned Chanukah and other holidays that are observed, of course, in our tradition. And that was just, when I saw that, I said, I must do everything in my power to get you into our studio and discuss all this. And we will discuss this book and your illustrious career, but I feel it's important to start from today. Where were you on October the 7th?
Well, I live in Kibbutz El Rom, which is in the North Golan Heights. And my basic routine is to check the news on three outlets every 3 hours. First is the Times of Israel, which I don't particularly like, but it does have more up-to-the-minute bulletins, which is important to me.
Sure.
Then I go to usually the Jerusalem Post, which I have more faith in, and then I wind up with Ynet, which I have even more faith in, but I have the most faith in Channel 14 in Israel. I don't trust any of the other media there. So I check every 3 hours, and you know, I obviously knew when the news hit, and the alert was the siren is going to be wailing, and it did, and we had to get into the safe room. We have a safe room in the house. Well, safe is in quotes, you know, you know, you never know what's safe. And we were there twice, and then there was the all clear. And then, of course, we followed the horrific news.
For the benefit of our listeners, Channel 14 is probably, we'd call the most Zionistic.
Yeah.
Right, most Zionistic of all the television channels. And what's interesting is we hear about the evacuations from the north and everything that's happened over the last few months, but you, where you were not told to evacuate or to leave the town, right?
Yeah, the closest town, there were two towns that were significant in our lives. Matula is right on the Lebanese border.
Right.
Actually, once there was there were times when they had a like a safe fence. The relations were, this is pre-Hezbollah. And Matula had to be activated. That really was a blow because my three grandchildren learned their hockey there, and it had a historic arena from my viewpoint.
Israel's only ice hockey arena?
No, there is more than one? Oh, we have many.
Oh, really?
We have many.
But that one's really well known.
Yeah, and so that was part of it. And Matula was, and we do our shopping when we need to. In Kiryat Shimona, which is about a 40-minute drive
down. Which was evacuated.
And that was evacuated. But we were there twice when missiles came about 2 hours after the missiles hit right where we had been. And before I came to the States, I had to pick up meds. Our pharmacy was normally at street level. And now the pharmacy had been moved to a shelter, underground shelter, had to go, to get pick up the meds. So that was pretty damn close.
Oh, yeah.
And But we've been very fortunate. Very few sirens, and
you're in that area of Israel because your children preceded you.
Yeah.
Because your late wife, according to what we read, spoke about and had this dream of actually getting to Israel eventually.
Oh, yeah. Well, we...
So your son is there and you decide to move close to your child and grandchildren.
I retired basically from my work in television with the Garden. And I took Simon to Israel in 1998, 10 days, and he loved it. He went back to work in Hollywood. And he started to get involved with Zionism, and then he decided that he would make Aliyah. And in 2000, he was in Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, and a car bomb went off about half a block from him. He got knocked into the wall, but wasn't seriously hurt. And after they had kids, I have three grandchildren there. They were living in, first in Tel Aviv. He had a very good job in Tel Aviv because he had a heart transplant. He was susceptible more easily. And he kept getting colds because they were in a compact place. So he had to go to the hospital, and so they decided to move north.
He needed a more open area.
Yeah, exactly.
What is it about Israel that it takes a son of yours... You know, with certain obviously Jewish background and from a family like yours, and he gets there for those 10 days and has these experiences you just spoke about, and it pulls him to want to be there permanently. What is it about that land?
Well, I can speak for myself, and that is that when I wake up in the morning and I go out and get the mountain air, I look across and there's a Star of David, and there's a Star of David next door, and the vision, seeing the, gives me nachas. I feel good already, you know, where I wouldn't feel as comfortable here.
Understood.
And I should remember, way back when I was going to Hebrew school, we had conflicts with the neighborhood, particularly when I was in, we were in shul, I think it was Rosh Hashanah, Temple Beth Jehuda on Bedford between Myrtle.
Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Right. And a rock came through the window, and that and being chased because I was Jewish. Right. So I never forgot those.
And you know what's happening today in many areas of this country.
Only too well.
And yet you write Tales of Brooklyn, your new book, and obviously there must be many great stories about growing up in Williamsburg and living in that era and in that neighborhood.
Everything I write is great.
Yeah, but I mean positive.
No,
good
I meant GRATE. This is something that I actually got into during COVID. Mm. But a colleague of mine who played golf for the Islanders, Chico Resch, he worked with me for about 10 years doing Devils, and he keep asking me to tell him Brooklyn stories. I gave him a tour of Brooklyn also, showed him where I lived, and so finally he settled on this one great story in the book about ice cream and my family and my aunt and an incident where she sent me to get ice cream in a blizzard. It's a funny story, but it wasn't funny then. And he loved it. And one day, not too long ago, about 4 years ago, he says, "My wife Diane wants you to write the story and send it." So I sent it to him. And the next day, I get a call. Send us another Brooklyn story. We got to the third story. I said, "What the hell am I doing sending them the story? I'll send it to my friends and family." So finally, my agent said, when I got to the 20th story, he says, "When you get to 30, we'll have a book." And we did 36.
What's the most Jewish story in this book?
I guess my bar mitzvah.
Do you remember your haftorah?
I don't remember a lot, but the problem has been most of my life, it's a conflict between the religion and hockey. And going to, you know, I had to leave Hebrew school before my bar mitzvah when I was about 10 because it was conflicting with the Sunday hockey games. Ah. And in the bar mitzvah story, right after, it was in April 1945, and
The war had just ended.
Huh?
The war had just ended.
So the just so happened that I was rooting for the Maple Leafs in those days. And I remember right after the bar mitzvah, we headed to the, where we were going to have the luncheon, but I had to run into the candy store first to get the final score on the Leafs and the Red Wings, and my guys won. But it was very, very much, you know, my bar mitzvah started with my speech, my dear grandparents, grandparents, relatives, and friends. This is the most important day in my life, and so on from there. And then I was thinking, geez, I hope the Leafs won last night. Which they did.
Thank
and they won the cup in 45.
And a Williamsburg kid likes the Leafs because of their uniforms or what? What was it that drew you to them?
No, I got it for my 10th birthday. My parents got me a little Philco transitone radio and a scrapbook with three-dimensional Indian on the cover. And I was listening. By accident, I could get the Toronto station.
Wow.
The finals were on, and it was great. And legendary announcer Foster Hewitt caught my ear, and it was unbelievable because they had all these crazy names. They had nicknames on the Leafs like I never heard before. The goalie was Walter Brode. His name was Turk. One defenseman was Wilfred McDonald. He was Buckle McDonald. His defense partner was something Campman, and he was Bingo. So he had Bucko, Bingo, Turk, a Sylvanus, a Teeter. I mean, many.
Did the front line have a nickname, or they didn't have those in those days?
Like they had
a nickname.
They had, but not that one. The next year, they had a kid line.
The kid line.
Yeah, they had a kid line.
Which has been used again since then.
Yes, right, yeah. Yes.
The
yes.
Sabres, I think, had a kid line, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but I was only interested in Toronto.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right, the book is called Tales of Brooklyn. We're highly recommending it. Stan Fischler is here. Book is available everywhere, I assume, Amazon, et cetera.
Amazon is special, yeah.
Okay, so a couple of things. The NHL and the way it is today, does fighting belong in the game or not?
It does, with an asterisk. What we saw and what I saw at that Ranger game.
Rangers-Devils.
Yeah, that was, and I said it on network television, it was unique. Never seen it with all five guys at the start of the game. That's freakish thing, okay? And it was a prearranged fight by right. These two guys, but not with the others. I would say, and basically it is a fact of life, when there's a fight, everybody stands up and watches. When there's a goal, not everybody stands up. But I don't think fighting is necessary. But the fact of the matter is, it's part of the hockey heritage. We remember the great fights, Eddie Shore with Mus Patrick, Gordie Howe with Louis Fontanato. And I'm not as enthused as I used to be.
Right.
I like the fact that the Leafs could beat the crap out of other teams, but now I can do without it.
Greatest Leaf player of all time?
Syl Apps, the center who played on the... He was my first idol. And really, two guys on the team won five cups. Turk Brodo, the goalie, and Don Metz, oddly enough, who was a spare, actually was on five cup winners, because whenever they brought him up from the minors, he won the cup for them. Five, his brother, who was a star, Nick, only won for Don Metz.
You've been in the building for how many Stanley Cup victories would you estimate? You were at all four Islanders, I assume.
Not necessarily in the building.
Not necessarily in the building.
I didn't go to Vancouver with them. I was in for the Devils, the first one. And also the third one. Well, I was actually in the one in Dallas. So I was there. I was in a number of ones when the Canadians had their dynasty as a fan. During from 56 to 60, they won five cups in a row.
Wow.
I saw about three of them. And I was significantly out of the building when the Rangers won the last cup.
Meaning in 94,
yeah.
You were specifically not in the building.
Yeah,
you could have been in there if you wanted to.
I didn't want to be there, but I did do a Channel 7 newscast for the parade.
So if someone asks if you have a disdain for the Rangers, what's the answer to the question?
Well, I don't disdain them because I do a lot of my money-making work writing about them.
And your first job
was
with them.
With the Rangers. Right. So I really have a great gratitude for the Rangers.
Then what is it that keeps you out of the building for Game 7?
Because I was a Devils broadcaster, and I never got over the fact that they had lost that Matteau game. It right. killed me. And I was I got home in time to watch it. I just was not enthused.
I would imagine not. Were you at the Jockeman game against Detroit against the Red? Yes. What do you remember about that night?
Well, I knew Eddie Jockeman well. I was covering it, and I was amazed to see Ranger fans rooting for the other team.
Right.
That was an anomaly. And it was one of these many significant events. I mean, my many significant events go back to the World Series 41 when damn Yankees beat my Dodgers. That was the passed ball. Hugh Casey.
The most famous passed ball in baseball history.
Yes, and... terrible thing. It's the number one scar.
But what happened when they eventually? What was it? 55 when they eventually?
I covered that for the Journal of America.
I mean, doesn't that make up for everything?
Never. The scars remain forever.
I love it.
Yeah. Bobby Thompson, that phony home run.
Right.
I kept telling Giant fans it was foul, and a Giant fan grabbed it and tossed it to a Giant fan in the. I had a buddy of mine who believed me. He believed I used to bust his chops with that, and he kept saying, no, no, no.
I'm just up against the clock, and I have so much I want to ask you. Should Ranger fans be more forgiving at this point of Dennis Potvin?
No, because it's in their blood.
That's it. There's no escaping it.
They don't get it. And they don't want to get it. They don't want to get it.
What is the it and they don't want to get it?
They want to think it was dirty, and the guy who was hurt said it wasn't dirty. The coach said it wasn't dirty. Nishka Falich, forget about it. You can't reason with these people.
I love it. Greatest player you ever saw, and please, because it sounds like you're leaning toward the ones who may have played 50, 60 years ago, keep the Gretzky's and others in mind. The greatest player I ever saw was?
Easy, Gordie Howe. Easy.
More than Gretzky, more than
Way
anybody.
Way more. He could put Gretzky in his pocket, for crying out loud. With two skates, he did everything. And he was the best fighter, the best passer, and he was the best shooter. The only thing he couldn't do was play goal, which if he did put on the pants, he would have been the best goalie. So, you know, he was everything.
How much greater was he than Bobby Hull, same era?
Bobby Hull was a semi-fraud because he came in. You're laughing. I'm serious. I'm not fooling
around.
No,
I like
he came in at the beginning of expansion. Lousy teams. He was making all these doing against, you know, half-baked. Now, not taking away his greatness, but that goal that they make a big deal out of, that
right.
he wasn't flying through the air. The puck already was in. He was tripped by some schlub defenseman named Noel Picard.
Well, this is Bobby Orr.
That's what I'm
talking about. I asked you about Bobby Hull, but that's
what Bobby Hull was great in his own way.
But Orr, because of the expansion and the
he played 10 years, and those 10 years, the hockey was at its lowest competitive level.
Wow.
But he was great. You know, I'm not saying he wasn't great.
Understood.
But,
were you against the 6-12 expansion? Were you against it? Or
I was like a fool. Like I was at the beginning because it eventually got me into the business. But I was so I was so used to the six teams, no helmets, no goalie masks, wooden sticks. It was,
what do you think when you see the electronic ads on the boards now?
Zuck and Vey.
And now, what are we up to, 30? 32 teams? I don't even know what we're up to.
32 teams.
32 teams. Yeah. So, I mean, 12, you gave us your opinion. You think you may have been wrong. I get it. And it helped you establish your career. But is 32 way too much?
No, why should it be too much?
Really?
What's wrong with putting putting a team in Salt Lake City? Because the water is salty? That's no reason to keep it. It's a city, right? You got a city in Florida. Two cities in Florida are producing players for the NHL. You got a guy on Toronto. He's going to break goal. He's from Arizona. He learned his hockey in Arizona. So why should anybody be against it?
Did you attend New York American games?
I was 1 year late. In fact, a guy is writing a book now about them. I was a year after I was following them, but I didn't see them.
They practiced in Brooklyn their last year.
At the Brooklyn Ice Palace where I used to play beer.
What borough is that? What neighborhood is that?
It's Bed-Stuy.
In Bed-Stuy. And the problem, and is this the origin of the Ranger curse, that they, the owner cursed the Rangers because they wouldn't, the Rangers would block their entry into the NHL?
Exactly.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, Red Dutton said when he was, see, he was running the team. They got decimated by the war, and they temporarily folded. He was named the interim president of the league, which he took on the promise that at the end of the war, the Americans could be revived, and the Rangers said nix, and that's why he said they'll never win the cup as long as they're alive, and they didn't win a cup until 8 years after he died.
Unbelievable. Stan Fischler is here. Is the New England Whalers the best hockey uniform ever?
No, the Americans.
Was a better uniform.
Star-spangled skaters.
Wow.
Loved them.
And were you for or against the formation of the WHA?
No, because it gave me my first TV job.
And that was with the Raiders?
New England Whalers.
Oh, the Whalers. I was with the Whalers, right.
Out of Boston.
And the merger of the two leagues was no surprise to you.
Not at all. I knew the guy who was doing it. Howard Baldwin was the president. He was the one who got me my first job with the Whalers. I loved the fact that they were getting together. Loved it.
Right. And now they're in some other city, but people still wear the uniforms because
it's a wonderful one. I loved working the games in Hartford. I loved the fact that it was a classic hotel right across the street from the rink. It was just nice, but, you know.
Best subway line in New York City is?
Well, I was, I'm a big fan of the Q, the old Brighton line, and I used to open the window in the front, which you could do, and I stand on the seat, and it was, and it had a great run. The great run to Brighton was wonderful, wonderful.
And the greatest team in NHL history would be?
47-48 Leafs.
Gretzky's Edmonton does not come close.
No, I mean, they were good, and I like Edmonton now because they got a Jewish player who's very good and who sticks up for the Jews and publicly.
Says the right things.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, the Islanders of 80-81, that, you know, it's not fair to compare. It's like taking a 19, let's say a 42 Cadillac and comparing it with a brand new Cadillac. It's totally different. You can't, you know, it's like, who's the greatest player? Well, what about the goalies? What about the defense?
Right.
So that's it.
And the greatest memory for you that you saw in person, we mentioned the Jockeman game. What was the best night for you in hockey in your lifetime where you were there in the building would be what?
Bobby Nystrom's overtime goal for the Islanders.
That hurt.
Hurt why?
It bit the Rangers.
Huh?
They beat the Rangers.
No, Bobby Nystrom's goal wasn't against. It was against the Flyers.
Oh, it was against the Flyers. I'm thinking of Ken Morrow. Well, I'm thinking of Ken Morrow's
in
goal.
In the 80-81 series where they beat the Rangers in four straight, every goal of that was great. Every minute was great. Every second, okay? You know why?
Because the Rangers were on the other end.
Right, with Evershop.
All I could say is I take great pride in bringing people on this show who make us proud to be Jews.
Yes.
And what you are doing, how you're living, what you're saying is making all of us so incredibly proud. And all I could say is, kolak avod, as they say in your country.
Yes, and not prouder than me being on this show.
Thank you.
I wish we had more time. I can't, but this is a mitzvah for me to schmooze with you like this.
I appreciate that
you
very
understand
much.
My mumbolution.
I hope we'll have a chance to do it again.
We better do
maybe,
it again.
Maybe in the Golan Heights.
Well,
do you ever leave the Golan? Like, if I come to Jerusalem, you're never in Jerusalem,
right? Oh, if you
right?
come to Jerusalem, I'll be there.
Seriously?
I'll give you a hug and a kiss and a squeeze.
I can't wait.
I can't either.
The book is called Tales of Brooklyn. Enjoy it. It's written by Stan Fischler, available everywhere. God bless you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.